out of your sermon, out of your bulletin. And be ready to follow along our Real God series, learning the attributes of God. What is God like all the time? And learning to lean on Him, lean into God, what He is doing in our lives. The Love of God, Part 8. Andy Rooney. Anybody remember Andy Rooney? He was on 60 Minutes program. Not Mickey Rooney, Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney, commentator on 60 Minutes. He ended each of his comments with a personal thought regarding things that make relationships matter. He said things like this. I've learned that, oh, here we go again. Kayla? You're the clicker today. I've learned that when you're in love, it shows. I've learned that being kind is more important than being right. Husbands, wives, brothers and sisters. I've learned, he said, that sometimes all a person needs is a hand to hold and a heart to understand. I think he's right. The kids today shared how they recognize that God loves them and that mom and dad and brothers and sisters and friends love them, and they show that love for them. God's word shows us that God not only loves us, but he is the author of love. 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. Let me read that to you. 1 John 4:16. I got to get back here. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. There's an important element here about love, isn't it? Love is the kingpin of relationship. Whoever loves lives in God, and God lives in him. That's the kingpin of all relationships, is how we love. How we love. And it's not a love defined, like we said last week, it's not a love defined by our English word, love, because that could mean everything from, I love what?
Pizza.
I love pizza. And I love God. Well, how are those two things different? Moses, through the Ten Commandments, told all Israel to love God with all their hearts and all their souls, all their mind and all their strength. Jesus condensed these Ten Commandments into two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is like it, he said. Meaning it's not less than or less important than the first commandment, but it's equal to in importance. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Turn to someone next to you and say, God loves you. The character or quality of God as a God of love is important for a number of reasons, with the first and most important being this. The love shared between God and you is unique in Christianity. It's unique in Christianity. How's that? Well, in all non-Christian religions, the worshiper tries to earn a God's favor by obedience and devotion, and maybe even that worshiper loves that God. Whether the God is made of wood or stone or plastic or just an image in that person's mind, that God cannot respond in kind. That God is not real. Therefore, the Real God series. That God is not real. He cannot respond. It cannot respond. Can you imagine when Mike and I were in Israel, going around to the different sites and seeing places where people worshiped gods. And the one place, I can't remember the name of it, but we were in one location that had been excavated, and they found this huge round altar. And this altar must have been 25 feet across in diameter and about 3 feet high. And our tour guide, he said, "This is where children were burned alive, worshiping some god." Can you imagine what you would hear, what you would see, and calling that worship? Can you smell it and call it worship of a god that doesn't exist? What you believe to be true, even if it's not, drives you. What do you believe to be true about your God? Is it true what you believe about your God or not? How will you find out? What's the answer? Scripture. You get in your Bibles, brothers and sisters. You get in there and you stay there. You read your word. You be familiar with it. There's a bunch of lies going on about who God is. You cannot be fooled if you know your scriptures. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand there. In 1 Kings 18 is the account of Elijah challenging the 450 prophets of the god Baal, B-A-A-L. Or maybe Baal, as I have heard it pronounced. Elijah challenges the 450 prophets of Baal to the real God contest. Have you seen that? The real God contest? It's in 1 Kings 18. Elijah would offer a bull upon the altar, and the prophets of Baal would do the same. Whichever deity, whichever God sent fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice would be declared the real God. "You go first," Elijah told them. They prepared their offering, and they danced, and they worshiped, and they yelled. No answer. They shouted, "Answer us, Baal!" No answer. From morning till noon, nothing. No response. I think Elijah was enjoying this. He would shout, he'd say things like, "Shout louder, maybe he's hard of hearing." Maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he's busy, maybe he's on a trip, maybe he went to sleep. Keep going. And they worshiped and they danced and they yelled and they, to show God, their God, they were serious, they took knives and cut themselves and bled. Until the evening, they must have been exhausted. Nothing happened. Then it was Elijah's turn. It was Elijah's turn. First, Elijah called the Israelites to come near. Catch that. Do you see God's love here? The first thing the love of God does is to call you to come near. "Watch this," God says. "Watch this." Have you ever said that to somebody? "Watch this." Now, here it comes. Are you ready? "Watch this," because we're about to do something really cool. God calls you, come near. Come near. How do you do that? How do you come near to God? Just throw out some, this is audience participation time. Throw out some thoughts here. How do we draw near to God? When he says, "Come here," how do we come here? Scripture? Prayer? Get on your knees? I'm sorry?
Quiet
time with him. Yeah. Getting everything else, distractions out of the way. Amen. Yeah. Coming near to God. I think you're doing it right now. Gathering together, right? Yeah. Sunday mornings, small groups, ABF times. Yeah. Amen. God calls you. See, this is the first thing love does. Come here. Come see me. Come see me. That's a great invitation. Don't miss hearing it, God's invitation to come near. It can come through many, many things. The other day, I drove over Tollgate Highway in the beautiful fall colors. The elk I almost hit. These beautiful things. And you know, when I see stuff like that, I like to just pause for a moment. And my body did this. The world in that moment seemed right. Because the world was behaving in the way God created it to. And when that happens, God called me near. And my soul responded with, God calls you near, brothers and sisters, my friends. He calls you near always and ever in a variety of ways. Listen to him. So Elijah calls the Israelites near. The altar of 12 stones that were originally built there on Mount Carmel had been torn apart. The stones had been scattered because kings who were serving God didn't serve God. They served other gods, and they tore down the altars of God. Wow. So Elijah, he sees the stones. He says, Israel, come near. And he takes one of the stones and then another and another, and he rebuilds the altar on which the bull will be sacrificed. 12 stones. Why 12? One for each tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel. And he rebuilds the altar. And then the next thing Elijah did was something profoundly important. He looks at the people, Israel, and he says this, your name shall be Israel. Israel. Elijah, or God through Elijah, reminds Israel who they are. Your name is Israel, chosen of God. Do you know your name? Chosen.
Just call me.
Beloved. Daughter. Son in whom I am well pleased. Cherished. Never alone. Men whom I love. God is in the business of giving you a name. Important. Beautiful. God is in the business of bringing you a name. Are you living in it, the name he's given you? Israel, are you living in your name? You have forgotten your name because you've been worshiping other gods and they drew you away from me. You think your name is not good enough. Sacrifice some more. Not there yet. That's what you think your name is. Don't you dare go back to those old names. Your name is the name I give you, Israel, he said. This is the second element of the God of love. Anyone who responds to God's call to come here, he gives them a life-altering, value-changing name. I wish I could just, I know all of you. I could come by each one of you, look you in the eye and say, here's the name God has given you. Would you live in it? Would you cherish it? Would you keep it? Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, for that's where your name lives. Let no one steal it from you. Let no one change it. Especially yourself. Why did Elijah give the Israelites the name they already had? Israel? Because people forgot the importance of their names. We can do that too. You see, when we put our hope for life, for love, for eternity, for security in someone other than God, we start forgetting our name. We stop forgetting, and we start forgetting who our real God is. And we start looking at things that are close and near and things that we can touch and manipulate and store away. It was now evening. The 450 prophets of Baal had failed. Their God did not show up. Elijah placed the wood on the altar, cut up the bull, placed it on top of the wood. Then he called for four jars, large jars of water. Pour water over it. Soak the wood. Soak the meat. And he called for that to happen three times. 12 large jars of water. Soak that wood. What might the prophets of Baal, think about this, what might the prophets of Baal have been thinking and feeling as they watched Elijah approach the altar? And call on his God. What do you think the prophets of Baal were thinking? What were they feeling? Elijah didn't cut himself. He didn't yell and scream. He knew his God. And as he came before his God, it was like saying to the prophets of Baal, watch my God. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to say that a lot. Amen? Watch my God. Now that's not arrogance. Don't say that in arrogance. Say it in confidence. What might Elijah be thinking? Was he going, gulp? I hope you show up, God. Was he saying that? No. Confidence. Confidence. So Elijah approaches the altar and then he prays. 1 Kings 18:36. He prays, At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things that you have commanded. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Elijah prays for Israel. God, burn that up and show them that you are still their God. Nothing has changed. All their worship of Baal is spit, worthless, nothing. Remind them who you are, God. I think we need to pray over our community like this. Shall we? Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's pray over our communities. As I read this prayer, we're praying for our communities. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, Athena, Weston, Adams, Helix, Pendleton, Milton Freewater, Walla Walla, the Weston Mountain, and beyond, Father God, let it be known today that you are God in these towns, and that we are your servants, and we have done things you have commanded, Father God. We have done what you have commanded. Answer us, O Lord, answer us, so the people of these towns will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Father God, there's many people who've done the church thing. They say, I've been there and done that. It didn't work. Lord, church never works when you're not in it. You work. Lord, would you return people back to you? Father, would you put on our hearts the name of one person of whom we commit to pray for? And if possible, befriend. And that somewhere along the line, Lord, as we pray for this person, God, that we will say, as Elijah did, turn that person's heart back to you. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for acting on this. And Lord, thank you for including us in this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Out of all the gods in the world, and we said last week that one statistic I heard is that there's a new religion starting up every day somewhere in the world. Somebody gets a wild hair and comes up with some sort of system or idea and says it's religion. But out of all the gods in the world, only the God of Christianity has a love that moves him to restore a wayward people back to himself, as we see in the Old Testament through Elijah. In the New Testament, God gives himself sacrificially by paying the penalty of your sin and mine on the cross. Why did he do that? Through Jesus Christ. His own love for people moves him to reconnect with them, even with no guarantee that we will return that love. Wow. You know what? I just tell, if I'm going to pay the price of my life for the likes of you, you better respond. I'm not doing it if there's no guarantee. Jesus did. Only in Christianity is a mutual relationship of love enjoyed. The two-way relationship of love between God and his children, and it is unique. Nowhere else will you find it. The third reason the quality of God as a God of love is important is that God is that wherever church shows up, the impact of love, of his love, brings a peace and a calming effect to that place. Steve, would you come and share an experience you've had of this actual truth, that wherever church shows up, a calming effect happens?
Well, in the 90s, there was a, I would call it a revival, an awakening of men called Promise Keepers. You may have heard of that. In my first experience in Promise Keepers, I was invited to go to Eugene, where we had an event there, where 40,000 men showed up in a stadium. And it just blew me away. And, you know, when you go to a different town and you have to leave for a minute, you always take your stuff with you because, you know, it may not be there when you get back. And it was so amazing that I didn't know any of these people, and yet I felt so secure because they were all just like me. They were all fellow brothers in Christ. And so I could leave all my stuff and go have lunch and come back, and my stuff was still there. No worries. Well, all of that accumulated to 1997, when Promise Keepers went to a place, to Washington, D.C., to what they called Stand in the Gap. We had 40,000 men show up in Eugene. In Stand in the Gap, there were 1 million men there. Now, the news said, oh, well, it can't be that many. But, you know, 1 million men, not 100,000, 1 million men, covered the whole mall. And so when we first got there early in the morning, there were men on the mall. There was like 80 of them in a big circle standing on the courthouse steps praying. I don't know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Just, it was so moving. The shofar was being blown and it was echoing all around. We would go down to into the subways, and I remember Bill Hansel, we're all so packed in the subways that they had to stop the escalators because we're all up and down on the escalators. And there was a guy there with a guitar, and he says, "Say, you play that thing? Because we're all just waiting for the next train." So I pulled it out, and to hear all the men in that subway sing, "Lord, I lift your name on high," and have it just echo through the subway, it was just amazing. And we were over in, we stayed by DuPont Circle, which is, you know, it's probably maybe 20 blocks from the White House. But at the time, Washington, D.C. was one of the higher crime rate cities in America. I don't know how it is now, but it was right up there with Detroit and Chicago and the rest of them. And when we were walking along the street, I remember a store owner came out and he shook my hand. And he said, "Thank you. Thank you for showing up." And the amazing thing was, with that high crime rate in Washington, D.C., we found out that the police department, and I think I've got this right, only got 3 calls that night. 3 calls. They had nothing to do. It was like when all these Christian men showed up, all the cockroaches ran off into the dark. It was so cool. And we felt safe. Everywhere we went, we felt safe. And so I think that was the amazing thing about when Christians show up in a group, what an impact they can have on the world around them. It's like, whoa, I got to pay attention to this. Something's happening. So I think for us, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I went with Delbert to England, was I wanted to know about this revival thing. What's revival? How did the church start that revival in England and have it come over to the United States back in the, I don't know, early 1900s, where people just stopped working and found themselves wandering into a church, not knowing really why, to hear God, to be with God. And so could we not all have that together again if we did show up? And amen. That's all I have to say.
So, church, do you know why you're here in Athena? To show up. Because when the love of God shows up, peace and calm comes to that place. People start looking. Where is this coming from? They start seeking God. Well, the word in the New Testament that describes God's love is agape. It's no surprise. Many of you know that. It's defined as a sacrificial kind of love, a giving kind of love. It's a desire that comes from within God himself to give a sincere and unending care for someone. Agape love means to give something precious of yourself to another. The greatest expression of this, of course, is Jesus dying on the cross in our place to take the penalty of sin upon himself. Here are some thoughts about love that helps us wrap our brains around the idea of agape. Number one, agape love is a choice. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified in Christ, yet it's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And he chose to give me his love. God's love for us isn't sparked by how awesome we are. Okay, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you're awesome. Even though that's true, it wasn't your awesomeness that caused God to love you. It comes from his own heart to want to do that. Parents, before your child was born, you already had chosen to love that child. Is that right? Yes. Amen. Where does this love come from, people? How do we love like this? 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Amen. Secondly, God's agape love pursues and initiates. It pursues and initiates. God seeks you out. How? Well, first of all, God created a beautiful and functional home for you called Earth. It's a beautiful place, isn't it? Its beauty and its wonder speaks to you of God's beauty and wonder. The Earth is one way God lets you know he loves you. Secondly, God sent his own son to take the penalty of death for you, John 3:16. Thirdly, God introduced himself to you by sending you his handwritten letter called the Scriptures, the Bible. Fourth, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, Jesus gave you himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You have the power of God living in you. His name is Holy Spirit. He's the guy with the boots on the ground with you. Jesus said, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come and be with you. Here he is. He's inside you. He's empowered you to do everything God commanded. You know what that means? That means we have no excuse. And finally, God gives you people as he continues to show his love to you. He gives you people. So here's a talk to your neighbor moment. With your neighbor, name one or two people who have helped you learn of God's transforming love. Might be someone from way back. Might be someone in your present. Someone in between. Name one or two people who have helped you understand and experience the love of God. Okay, ready? Go. Oh, Elijah prayed. The fire came down and burnt up the meat, the wood, and the stones. Sopped up all the water. It was complete. God's love for you is complete. And let's be confident in it. Let's us say like Elijah said, our communities, come near. Here's your name. Call on God and watch my God. Whew. This is the love of God. It's not just a mamby-pamby, oh, feel-good moment. The love of God is powerful. It's important. It can break through anything. Let's stand and sing of this amazing love God gives us. You respond to God. If you need to talk with me, I'll be right back there at the Welcome Center right after this service. Let's